Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to be beginning chapter 7 in the book of Romans. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn there to Romans 7. And we're going to expound verses 1 through 6. 1 through 6. And on the board right up here, I've entitled this evening's message, Having Become Dead to the Law. Having become dead to the law. And so, let's look where Paul picked it up in chapter 7, as we've been reading now these about a month and a half, starting with chapter 1. Now we're in chapter 7, and let's go to the word. And it reads, Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. Ooh, it's getting a little dicey here. Let's move on to verse 3. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law. So she is no adulteress, though she has what? Married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be what? Married to one another. To him, look at this, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Look at that, verse 5 and 6. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Praise God. Interesting here, saints, that Paul is using the marriage as a parallel to what he's conveying to us. One of the reasons why I truly believe he's using the marriage is because the body of Christ is now married to who?
To Jesus.
We're married to Jesus. We're the bride. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So what God is looking for, he's looking for faithfulness. If we're married to Christ, why should we then entertain anything else but him as far as adoration, praising, loving, and glorifying God? You see, did you know that God is a jealous God?
Yes.
And so God covets our praises, our worship unto him. But Paul's using the marriage here. Why? Because marriage is sacred unto God. You see, God is the one that instituted the marriage from the garden. He said a male shall and a female, they should come together and become one. One will leave their mother and father, the other one will as well, and become one flesh. But the reason why he's using this analogy is because he wants us to truly see for what it is. For instance, there are people throughout generations from Adam's day all the way to today's date in the church I don't know how many marriages have taken place. And yet, if that first one is still alive and there has been no repentance, that is adultery to God. See, people try to box around that. They leapfrog over this. I've shared it many times that unless there's repentance, God will forgive anything. And I know, but here's the thing. There's people in the church today that never repented from the first divorce or the second divorce or the third divorce or the fourth divorce. And they bring their junk with them. It's never been dealt with. So they're bringing their junk in the trunk into the new marriage. Why did God disapprove of divorce? You know why God allowed it, but he doesn't approve it? Because Moses gave them a certificate of divorce because of the hardness of their heart. The hardness of their heart. You ever seen a couple that was so bitter? I mean, if you put a knife in their hand, they'll drive it in their heart. That's how much they hate one another. I don't know how many times we've counseled souls, and you can see, my goodness, it's like, where's the love? What happened here? And what happens, nothing gets rectified. Nothing gets corrected. Pride sets in. And so what happens? A divorce takes place. And then we trade that one in for a new model. I want a new model now. Yeah. I've been driving around this 2004. I want a 2024. Right? Well, here's the thing about this. It doesn't matter if you've been married 3-4 times. It doesn't matter. Here's the thing. What has gone on is that there's never been repentance on the first one. So it doesn't matter. Let me correct that. It doesn't matter to me. But I pray for those who walk that way, because I know for a fact that if you've been married once, you're going on your second or third, I hope you went before the Lord and asked God to forgive you for that last one. Now, we know he's an everlasting God, and we know that he's a God that will forgive. But we cannot be like the world. The world will just trade you in. And we laugh about it, but it's a serious matter. Because we're going to see that those who have not repented and have been married 3-4 times, according to God's word, they're not going in. They're not going to make it. He's going to keep them out. Because who... I think it was last week. Who was kept out from the New Jerusalem?
The adulterers.
The murderers.
The murderers.
The defiled. It's in the last book of Revelation. And so God is serious about these matters. So let's break this down and have the Holy Spirit go where he needs to take us. Amen. So let's look at verse 1. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? And so, saints, it's obviously the law can only apply to a person who is still living. A dead body cannot be expected to follow any laws. So this is for the living. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so, nor can it make restitution for the sins committed. Once this life is over, it's over. And I'll show you why in Scripture when I say what I mean what I say. Paul's rhetorical question creates a chilling afterthought, saints. Death brings an end to the authority of the law. But what remains after that is what? Judgment. You know why? Because only the physical body dies, but the soul and spirit is still alive. And that's where people need to really be really in check and know that you're saved and know that you have repented for everything and you're heaven bound. Because it's true what the scripture says. Look at this, right up in Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the what? Judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Now, we need to make something clear tonight as well. As we were praying tonight, once again, how many believe that when you gave your heart to Christ, you got saved, and now you are what? Heaven bound, am I correct? So he doesn't save you again and again and again and again. No, he saves you one time. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Amen. We confess our sins because of this body of flesh sins, but he doesn't save us and save us and save us. The work was done at the cross. When we repented, he saved us once and for all. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And we have now been grafted in. So we have to be careful to know what our position is. Just because we fell short in a certain area in your life doesn't mean that he didn't save you. It means you need to repent of that and keep just moving forward. Confess your sin. He is faithful and just to what? To forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from what? All unrighteousness. Okay, so death removes a person from the frying pan of the law, but then drops him or her into the fire of judgment, especially to the unsaved. I heard prayers tonight. Oh God, some people have slipped away. Oh God, bring them back into the fold. Oh God, have mercy. There's people that are going to drop. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that every day the mouth of hell opens up wider and wider and wider. Because every day someone is being born and every day someone dies. Every day on this planet. And there are people that are just dropping into hell that have no idea who God is. Or they've rejected the gospel. And they did it to themselves. But there's going to be a judgment so severe that you and I, because we're children of the Most High God, we're not going to find ourselves in this judgment I'm going to show you right now. It's called the White Throne Judgment. It's right here in Revelation 20:11. Look at this. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Look at this. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. And another book was open, which is in the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Look at verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Death and Hades, meaning those who died in the flesh, he's going to resurrect them, and they're going to be cast in there. And Hades was a place where there, it's called hell. That's not the lake of fire. Hell is a place of torment where an unbeliever goes and is tormented 24/7. Tormented by who? By the demons. They're being tormented in there. And that's called Hades. So death in Hades is going to be cast what? Into the lake of fire. Look at this. death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. So those who died and went to hell, God is going to raise them up from that place to stand before him at the white throne judgment. It's a serious matter, huh? This is not the Supreme Court. This is the highest court in the entire universe. Look at this. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And look at verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See, the Bible says when we surrender and we give our heart to Christ, he writes his name on our heart. In other words, he marks us and he writes us in into the, right here, into the book of life. But the unbelievers, the angels are going to go and say, I don't see your name. And they're going to be dragged and cast right into the lake of fire. This is why the church needs to pray for them. Can I get amen? You know, one thing Yolanda and I, we know about this. We've seen it before. And it happens almost in a lot of churches. When we attended Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, at the height of its ministry, it was 3,000 deep. 3,000 attended. It was a 7:45 service, a 9:30 service, an 11:15 service, and then you came back for the 6 o'clock service, and then Wednesday was the midweek, like we're having tonight. So there was 3,000. Saturday night was the prayer meeting. Guess how many showed up there? Do the math. 3,000 and only 50 shows up. Prayer meeting is the least attended service or ministry in all churches. And that's where you get your power. That's where you get your instructions from the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we want this. We want to hear a good sermon and then go home. But no one wants to labor in prayer. Nobody wants to labor in prayer. That's why we only had a handful here tonight. That's right. I'm going to tell it like it is. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We always find excuses. People are always going to find an excuse that I can't be there tonight. You know what? If God is the center of your life, then you plan everything around him. You don't put him aside for other schedules. You make other things around to fit his schedule. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You see, saints, if a person can get out from under the authority of the law without coming under the judgment of the law, that would be good news, wouldn't it? It'd be great. But here's the thing. Christ is the one that redeemed us from the law. How many are so blessed to know that he destroyed the curse of the law in our life? Because the law said you need to die because of your transgression, because of your sin. But Christ delivered us. And I have it right up here. Look what Paul wrote to the Galatian church. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Look at that.
Thank you, Lord.
We are at one time a cursed people. And now we are a blessed people. Having become a curse for us, he became a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And the reason why Paul used this as a parallel during the Roman days, because this was during when Rome was basically the empire of the day, people would walk down the streets and they were hung on a cross. And they would look, that person's cursed. That person's cursed. The way they killed him is because he was a cursed person. But Jesus hung on that same cross. and took the curse away from us and applied it to himself and delivered us from the curse. Wow, look at this. Look at verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Through faith. It's not about works. How many are so blessed that we don't belong to a works type of salvation ministry? I belonged to one of them before. Man, you could never meet the quota. You could never meet that standard. You could never meet that ideology that they had. Because as soon as you failed to meet that, you were considered an outcast. You didn't have enough faith, brother. It's not about that. Jesus did it on the cross for all of us, once and for all. And all we had to do was come by faith, repent, and confess our sin. And then here comes mercy and grace, and then the blood, and then the Holy Spirit. You see, what people don't understand, before he can fill you with his Spirit, you have to be cleansed by his blood. Because he will not abide in a tainted vessel. It has to be cleansed by his blood. Can I get an amen? Amen. Then he'll come inside. Thank you, God. Because light and darkness don't mix. So when the soul and the spirit has been cleansed by the blood, now he can reside in us. Praise God. And you know, only God could figure that out. We humans had no clue what he was doing. We're clueless. Let's move on to verse 2 of Romans chapter 7. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. Well, Paul reiterated this when he wrote to the Corinthian church. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 7:38. Look at this. So then he who gives her in marriage does well. But he who does not give her in marriage does better. A wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes only in the what? In the Lord. It doesn't talk about looking for uncircumcised Philistines. That just went right over to some of you. Huh? Looking for them in nightclubs on Friday night. Look at this. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment, and I think I also have the Spirit of God. What is Paul saying here? Let me just say this. And he says this not only to the husband or to the wife, but there are times if you can remain single, he says it's better that you remain single. But if you're going to give yourself to one another, then it has to be an eternal covenant unto God. Can I get amen? Amen. There's no wiggle room here. There's no wiggle room. But things are going to get tough. I've heard the worst at this table here. This is our little counseling table right here. Meanwhile, we heard it all there. Over 17 years, we've heard it all. And it's the same old stuff. But you know what it boils down to? Pride. No one wants to give in. No one wants to lay down their life for one another. Jesus laid down his life despite of our pride. Despite of our sin, he still laid down his life for us. But you don't understand, Pastor, what he said or what she said. No, I don't understand. But I do know one thing. Jesus will forgive any sin. He'll forgive any sin. Have you tried that route? But you don't understand. I go, I know. I'll never understand it. And the reason why I say that, not in a facetious way, because it's only the grace of God that our marriage for 27 years never took that road. So we don't know what it means to be enraged, to be angered, to slander, to even get physical. And there's people that do that, even in the church. There's people that in the church, they have a mouth that'll curse out a sailor. Curse them down. Oh, that's right. I've heard it. It's like, where's the Holy Ghost? Where's the Spirit of God at? Where's the conviction? Well, then I go back. I have to always go back to the Word. Whatever's in you will come out. So if you got darkness in you, that's what's going to come out. Because the light of God will not spew that out. What will come out will be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Cursing won't come out. But there's people that do that all day long. And they'll come in Sunday morning, praise the Lord. Jesus help us. I'm just being real up here. Huh? I'm just being real. And during the week, you slung everything at them. Slung it. So, saints, the marriage vows bind a woman to her husband while he lives. If he dies, however, she is free from her vows to him. However, if a wife leaves her husband for another man and he's still alive, what is it? It's adultery. Look what Peter wrote in 2 Peter up here. Look at this. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they don't understand, and will utterly perish in their own what? Corruption. Look at verse 13 right up here. And will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. Look at this. Be careful. I'm talking everywhere you go, even in the church. Because there's people that have this. Look at verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. So in other words, you're speaking to someone and they're looking at you already naked in their eyes. Because they haven't dealt with this issue. God's bringing this up tonight for purpose and reason. But look at this. This wouldn't be written if it didn't correct someone and help somebody to see the error of their way. And I know some churches will just leapfrog over this. They don't want to touch that. Oh, if I start speaking on that, they won't come back. Well, that's cool. Yeah. And those are the ones that are dealing with this. Having eyes, look at this, full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. You know what beguiling souls is?
No.
You don't know what that means, huh?
I want to know.
Okay, someone that's full of sin, full of adultery, trying to get close to you, to beguile you to sleep with them. In other words, using their trickery.
Charm.
Their charm. They're trying to beguile you. They're trying to woo you. Woo you in. My, my, my. Woo, yeah. See, God. God already knew how we're made of. So he's putting what? He's putting us humans on blast. Without even mentioning our name. We don't have to mention names. This is in us automatically. This is why we have to guard our heart. We have to wake up and say, oh God, purify my thoughts. Purify my heart. Oh God, help me. Cleanse me. Don't let me think on these things, oh God. I want to think of pure things, holy things, things that will glorify you. That you can use me, oh God. Because when you start looking on the things of God, that's when he wants to use you. But look at this. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. What? They have forsaken the right way and have gone astray. Did you catch that? These are people that once believed. And now they become accursed. They basically, they left the faith and now living in sin. Oh, I know this is stepping on someone's toes tonight. But this is God's word. Are we going to just look past it? No, they have a heart trained. What, you know what it says? It's trained. That's what they do every day. Repetitiously. Unchecked. Look at this. A heart trained in covetous practice are cursed children. They have forsaken the right way and have gone astray. Following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of what? Unrighteousness. Look at verse 16. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water. You know what it means? People who say, praise the Lord, they invoke God's name. But the wells without water is the Holy Spirit don't live in them. He has departed. The Spirit of God has departed. Look at this. These are wells without water, clouds carried away by a tempest, for whom is reserved for the blackness of darkness forever. This is why we're so, well, I know people that we know in our life, you know, we know that they're in big, deep sin. But, you know, I want to just be kind and gentle. No, you have to tell them you need to repent. Jesus is coming. Get right with God or get left. There's no more time for mercy and grace. This is a time to get right, especially if they were walking with God. If they never knew who God was, God already knows about that type of ignorance. We're talking about someone that knows him. Look at this. If this woman is widowed, she is free from that law to marry another man and does not commit adultery if her husband dies. And vice versa. So let's move on. This is getting thick in here.
It's all right.
Amen. Let's go to verse 3 in Romans chapter 7. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Okay, so if that has not been dealt with, and there's people, like I said, in the church today. When I say today's church, across the land, across the world, I'm talking about the Christian church. But there's people in there that's been married 4 or 5 times. And they never dealt with the first one. And that follow that type of character follows. So they've trained themselves that if this doesn't work, I already know how to get rid of this one to go get another. They've trained themselves, like we just read, in a covetous way. Oh, if it ain't going to work out, I'm gone. Wow. But for those of you that are, and the light of God right now is putting a spotlight on your heart, I need you to read this in Galatians right up here. Look at this. Galatians 5:19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, what's the first thing he points? Why does he point out the very first attribute of sin? Because God takes marriage seriously. And that's one of the first things that's broken as far as a commandment and a law of God. The first thing is adultery. And then the next one is what? Notice the first two are sexual. The next one's fornication. Sleeping in with one another without coming to the altar and saying your I do's. Uncleanliness, idolatry, sorcery. We don't have time to go through all these. But I just wanted you to see that Paul is referring to something that's very serious, and there's an epidemic in the church right now. Because there's people that are just trading each other like a brand new deck of cards. Look at this right up here. It continues on. But I want you to catch the very last part of this. Envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Will not. Will not.
Revelries.
What? Starting fights. Yeah. Well, back in the days when I was growing up, you know, there was so many gangs, you know, with amongst us, we would go look for fights. We were called the Gray Jackets. We go look for the Green Jackets. And here we go, knuckling it down. Revelries. Picking a fight. Oh, that don't happen in the church, does it? He's speaking to the church. These letters and epistles are for the believer. An unbeliever is not going to pick this up and understand it. It's mumble jumble to them. This is for God's church. Saints, Paul was developing an analogy from common living to emphasize the lessons of life, especially those that are in the church. Having begun the theme of marriage, Paul wants his readers to remember that under normal circumstances, any breaking of the marriage vows would be adultery. Now, in Matthew, Jesus even said, well, you know, if adultery was committed, this and that, he didn't say go ahead and get divorced. Jesus never said that. He said, Moses gave them a certificate of divorce because of the hardness of their hearts. So I need you guys to get one thing clear. Jesus never gave a license to divorce. He instituted marriage. He created marriage. He's talking about those who defile marriage. And there's a whole bunch of defilers. So just as death breaks the bond between a husband and wife, so a believer's death to his old self, breaks the power of the law. Did you catch that? So when we come before God, we ask, oh God, let me die to myself. It's called dying to self. Saying, God, you're God and I'm not God. Oh, God, you've been chasing me. Here I am now. You caught me. Here I am. I'm not running away no more. And we fall on our face and we cry. And we say, oh, God, cleanse us, wash us. And what does he do? He does just that. And he doesn't save us over and over and over again. We are saved one time. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And if we find ourselves sinning, we confess it right away. But salvation took place that one time we confessed him as our Lord and Savior. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So the old contractual agreement had to be completely severed before the new one could begin. This had to be final as death. Jewish believers could not live with a dual allegiance. They could not be under the lordship of Christ and the lordship of the law. This is why you still have Jews today. They're still under the law. We attended Temple Beth Shalom. And they were Orthodox. In other words, they weren't Messianic. But the rabbi was downloading all my messages. I like to say it like this. And Rabbi, if you're watching, you know you're my friend. I'm your friend. But I believe Rabbi is a closet Christian. I believe he believed that Jesus is the Messiah. He just doesn't know how to confess it. Got to get a hold of him. But look at this. Jesus, he did not come to destroy the law. Did you know, this is why we were praying. I think one of us were praying tonight about the Ten Commandments that came back to the state of Mississippi,
Louisiana.
And we need to bring that back. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The reason why our nation is in the condition of it is because they took God out. They took prayer and the word of God out. So that was Satan's ploy, was to raise up generations without the knowledge of God. But look what Jesus said right up here. Well, let's go to verse 4 in Romans 7, and then we'll get to what Jesus said. Look at this. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ. It's through Christ that you may be married to one another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. You see, a fruitful marriage on this earth should always bear good fruit. A bad marriage will bear rotten, dirty apples with worms in it and mold. Why? Because there's nothing healthy there. But a good marriage will bring forth good fruit, right? But here's the thing. People think that, oh, we're in the dispensation of grace. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I heard the prayer tonight. He is sovereign. God is a sovereign God. And I take it a little further. It is he is the one that calls us. We don't call him. He's the one that quickens us. He's the one that has chose us. We didn't choose him. Were you looking for him? No. No, he was pursuing us since we were formed in our mother's womb. He's been chasing us down. And then when he finally got a hold of us, he quickened us and we turned to him. But don't think for one moment that Jesus came to destroy the law. Matter of fact, he came to fulfill it. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And it's right up here. Look at this. In Matthew 5:17. Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is what? Fulfilled. Are the Ten Commandments still in place? Still valid in front of God's eyes? Yes. That hasn't changed. And who knows the greatest commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the greatest commandment in all the 613 laws. All tie and hinge on those two. Isn't that something? Yet our Jewish friends still follow after the 613, and they have all these days that they go through. Until Christ comes into their life, they're never going to realize that Jesus came to fulfill the law. He didn't come to change it. He didn't come to get rid of it. Total commitment to Christ cannot coexist with a total commitment to the law. And like I said, there's churches that it's a work type of salvation. They implement the law. And it's not about the law. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Because it would be spiritual adultery. A believer fully belongs to Christ. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
This happens because of Christ's death on the cross and the believers being united with him and his death and his resurrection. So what did Jesus come here to do? Yes, he came to save us, but he also came for one big purpose that we sometimes forget why he came. Okay, let me ask this question. Who is the God of this world right now?
Satan.
Satan, right? So Jesus hasn't come to this earth to take it back yet. He is saving us, but we still live in this fallen world. He's not here physically yet to rule and reign. And that's around the corner. But the reason why Jesus had to come, though, the first time, and to be born, to be birthed into the believer, was to do this. Right up here, look at this. In 1 John. He who sins is of the devil, and the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came. To destroy the works. That's why Jesus came and took on our curse. He destroyed the works of the devil that was in our life. We inherited the original sin from Adam. So he came to destroy that, to give us eternal life. So the position we have now is that we are saints of God. That's our position in Christ now. Yes. Even with all our failures, our flaws, our shortcomings, missing the mark at times. Did you know he already looked past that? He already knew the junk that he was going to save. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He wasn't looking for perfect people. He wasn't going to the governments of the world to save the elite. He came to the highways and the byways. He went to the barrios. He went into the darkest places in our country and found us. And we were in some dark places. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at this. This is hard to fathom. This is why we have to have a paradigm change. We got to understand this in the next verse, in verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. I need you to catch this. Well, wait a minute. I make mistakes. Wait a minute. Sometimes my thoughts are corrupt. Well, wait a minute. Sometimes I sin and I got to confess it. But it says right here, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. So is there Is there a controversy here? I need you to see it. I need you guys to put your spiritual lenses on. Put your spiritual glasses on. So when God the Father looks down, guess what he sees? The blood. He sees the blood. He don't see the sin no more. He dealt our sin on the cross. He took the curse on the cross. Hallelujah. You should walk out of here tonight and say, man, yeah, my body will sin. Maybe my mind, but my soul and spirit has been locked in.
Amen.
It's been cleansed. Hallelujah. And he's preparing a new body for it. A new body. Because this one doesn't work right no more. It's failing us. Can I get an amen? So he came to destroy sin that was in our flesh and to free our soul and spirit. And then now the blood covers us. So that's how we don't sin before him no more. Even though we commit things and we confess those things. But he already knows we were going to do that. Did you know that he already knew the day you got saved that you were still going to sin in certain areas in your life? After. He already knew that. But see, the Arminian doctrine, and you'll find them in your charismatic, your Pentecostals, your apostolics, they believe that if you do commit something like that, you're headed to hell. Wait a minute. A true born-again believer will have the conviction of God, and then they will confess it and say, oh, God, cleanse me. And he cleanses us. He cleanses us, but it doesn't remove the position we're in. How many so blessed to know that we are eternally secured in him? We've been taught things that would scare us. You know, they use fear tactics. God don't play with us like that. He already knew what he was saving. People that would sin left and right. And if you could go throughout one, I'm going to say one full day, you could have your mouth taped by duct tape.
What about your eyes?
You can duct tape your eyes. You could be chained, handcuffed, okay? But guess what? You cannot handcuff your mind. And that's where the sin lies right there. In the mind. Because after an hour of being chained up like that, you're going to curse in your mind. Get me out of the... Listen, some of you are, I call it stellar saints. You guys love the Lord. You guys give unto the Lord for the work of the ministry. You know, you guys win souls. And that's all part of a mature believer that's growing in the grace and knowledge. And we get that. But we all still fall short. Even in our best day is still considered a bad day. Because we'll always fall short until we get the new body. So don't beat yourself up. We love to beat ourselves up and go into pity party. Oh, woe is me. Wait a minute. We are a royal priesthood. A peculiar people. Come on. Royalty now flows in our veins. The blood of Jesus. My goodness. When you get a hold of that, guess what? You'll want to draw so much more closer to him that you'll forget to sin. Oh, come on. Look what Paul wrote to the Philippian church. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all, what? Discernment. That you may, what? Approve the things that are excellent. That you may be sincere without offense. Look at this. To the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are what? By Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. So God is saying, if you fill your life with good things, you won't have enough time to worry about the bad things. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I say it best, when you're driving around, a lot of us, you know, we got really good sound system in our car and everything. If you're playing that beepity bleep bleep blap blap bleepity blap blap boom ba bump bump and no praise and worship, that's who you are. But if you got praise and worship and hearing about glorifying God, that's going to be permeated in your heart all day long, worship and praise. When I come in here and Yolanda's cooking something, she's got K-Love on. You know K-Love?
Yeah.
She's got the worship going on. When she's back there sewing, she's got it on. There's times when I'm in my study back there, I'll have that little, what's that little thing we got?
Alexa.
Alexa, yeah. I have it on quietly, but worship and praise. Because I want God to fill the room while I'm meditating on what I need to put down. So there are things to do, like this, in Galatians, look at this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Praise God. Praise God. We got two more verses to break down, and I'll go quickly now. Look at this, in verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, in Romans chapter 7, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. In other words, in our BC years, what did we do? Drugs.
Drinking,
carousing. You just heard me say we'd go to parties and look for fights. In and out of bedrooms. Oh, come on. Doing illicit things. Smoking. Oh, that's right.
Dishonoring
your parents, dishonoring your teachers at school. Ditching. How many times did we ditch?
None.
Good for you, sister. You see, Saints, Paul reminds his readers that the law did little more for them than fuel their evil desires, referring to human tendency to be dominated by desire and sin. It's in us. Why? Because this flesh is not, you're never going to save the flesh. The flesh cannot be saved. So don't even think for one moment, oh God, save this flesh. No. It's meant to go back to the dust. What did we read last week? Flesh and blood cannot what? Inherit the kingdom of God? It can't. And so, look what Paul wrote to the Galatians right up here. He goes, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, capital S, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? I just answered what I just said. No matter how much you want to dress up the flesh, it's still going to stink. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yes. Even taking two showers a day. It's still going to stink. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Flesh is flesh. You can't save flesh. This is why you got to say, oh God, thank you for saving a wretch like me. Thank you for saving my soul. Are we getting anything out of this lesson tonight? Or am I just up here rambling? Thank you, Jesus. Look at Galatians 5:24. Look at this. And those who are what? Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Okay, that's something that we can do and say, okay, God, My flesh wants to do this ungodly thing, but you know what? I'm going to say no. You know why? I need you to look at it like this, because that'll bring an offense to God. So if you love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind, is you're saying no to that, not because you have to. It's because you love God, and if you love God, you don't want to break His heart. That would be doing something unruly against my wife, or vice versa. She did something unruly against me. Why do you want to break their heart? If you love God, then you're going to pursue the things of Him. And you're going to be like Him. Can I get amen? Amen. So let's go down to the last verse. Verse 6 of Romans chapter 7. Look at this. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of what? The letter. So I need you to catch this, and we're going to close right here. I need you to catch this. How many believe that we are new creatures in Christ? How many believe that all things have passed away? Behold, all things have become new. Okay. Maybe someone's watching right now and they don't understand that. Well, let me spell it out to you. It's right here, found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. This is our ministry now, is to reconcile others to Him. Wow. Look at verse 19 here. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Listen, He took away the curse, as we've been talking. The curse should have never been removed because of our sin, but He came to remove it. Look at this, not imputing the trespasses. He took it away. And then He reconciled us to Him. Look at verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And I love this next verse of scripture right here. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So now, you can turn to your neighbor and say, you are righteous because of Christ. But say this. You are not righteous because of yourself. You are righteous because of Christ. Can I get an amen? Ain't nothing we did. Listen, there's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. It's what He did. Now we can stand. We can stand. Amen. How many want to see that video again I showed last week?
Do it. I almost fell out of the chair.
Okay. I don't think my brother's seen it.
I've done it.
Okay. All right. So, we've been talking about, in Romans, about Jesus took the curse that was upon us, He took it away. And now we have everlasting life. But I need you to see this, because I believe that God's going to rapture the church before the great and horrible day of the tribulation. You know, Jesus said it best. He said there's a tribulation coming like no other time in the history of the world, and there will never be one like that again. You know what He's talking about? A nuclear holocaust. Because there's 9 countries that have nukes now. 9. And the Bible says in Revelation that at least 3 billion are going to die in one day.
Is that one nation alone?
Around the world. No, there's only 360 million in the United States. We're talking there's 8 billion people on the earth. So 3 billion is going to die in one day. That's a whole lot of folks around the world. And so, let's look at this, because Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. And if we read the scripture, what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and then he wrote to the Corinthians. But let's look at this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. When he's talking about those who have slept, those who have died already in their bodies, they're in the ground. Okay? Look at verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven, and with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No! Comfort one another. Comfort one another with these words. Now, it's going to be so fast. It's going to be faster than the speed of light. That's why if you do a Greek study on the twinkling of an eye, it's faster than any than man can conjure up as far as speed is concerned. It's faster than the speed of light. Look at this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh, I want you to touch your flesh. Touch your flesh. That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You catch that? This body of flesh cannot go to heaven. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. What does that mean? We live in a body that's corrupt. A corrupt body. Look at this. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Meaning, we shall not all die in this body. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall what? Be changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. But you may be watching right now. It may be, it never dawned on you that Jesus is coming soon. And if he's coming soon, don't let this, what you're about to see, happen to you.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
And so before we close out, let's give an opportunity to those who are watching on Facebook and YouTube. Because I believe that all of us have been saved here, filled with the Spirit, washed in the blood. We're heaven bound. How many of you all been water baptized already? Raise your hands. Amen. We've all been there. So we're believers in here right now. But how many is this message going out to right now that have never surrendered, maybe never given their heart to Christ? And so I'm going to give them that opportunity. The Bible says right up here, I want you to catch this. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. That's the key, is repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your evilness. Turn and make an about face and turn to God and ask God to forgive you of your sins. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and watch Him do the miraculous in your life. Pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is He worthy? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is God. And so,
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.